Hasaya. It causes me to laugh. Nachaya. It causes me to dance. More. Unto me. Karaya. It causes. Krindana. Crying. Ita. Thus. Shuni. Hearing. Guru. My spiritual master. Hasi. Smiling. Balila. Said. Vachana. Words. Chanting the holy name in ecstasy causes me to dance, laugh, and cry. When my spiritual master heard all this, he smiled and then began to speak. When a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, this gladdens the spiritual master, who then also smiles in ecstasy. Paramatma, the treble is too high. It is just intense. When a disciple very perfectly makes progress in spiritual life, this gladdens the spiritual master, who then also smiles in ecstasy, thinking, how successful my disciple has become. He feels so glad that he smiles as he enjoys the progress of the disciple, just as a smiling parent enjoys the activities of a child who's trying to stand up or crawl perfectly. Om Gyanati Mirandasya Gyananana Salakaya Shakshuran Minitam Yena Tasmai Si Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Siguro Si Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaisnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sivisakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindha Dina Bandha Jagatpate Gopisa Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Visabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyacha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaisnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare The spiritual masters are mercifully traveling throughout the entire universe, just like Narada Muni. It is said, Narada Muni, Bajaya Vina Radhika Ramana Nama. That Narada Muni is traveling throughout the entire universe. This, make it shorter so it doesn't go down all the time. It's the worst for the back. Yeah. No problem. Everything good. So Narada Muni is traveling throughout the universe and bringing the holy name wherever he goes. Narada is basically producing that transcendental sound which emerges the entire universe, and so many are being touched by the mercy. The demigods are dancing in great ecstasy, and all throughout there is a trail of those who are touched by the holy name. So it is a fact that the holy name is spreading throughout the universe by the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And in that way, we can see Guru Krishna Prasadapaya, that it is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that we receive this mercy. So initially, the mantra is left there by Hari Guru and Vaishnava. Then, as we are beginning to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it penetrates in all levels. It is explained in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu how one becomes purified by the effect of devotional service, and particularly the topmost devotional service is identified as chanting Hare Krishna. And it said that devotional service, it influences the heart, where so much karmic reactions from previous lives are stored. Aparapta phalam papam kutam phalam bhajanmukam kramaneva praliyatam vishnu bhakti tatmanam. It is saying that this aparapta karma, this unmanifest karmic reactions, are stored within the heart. And that the chanting of the holy name has an immediate effect on that stock within the heart, and it diminishes that stock. It is said that due to the stock within the heart, there is a sinful inclination. And this sinful inclination is also being diminished by the chanting of Hare Krishna. And at the same time, sin itself becomes therefore less sinful activity. And ultimately, the aparabdha karma, the unmanifest karmic reactions within the heart, may fructify and then produce phala, or karma phal, the fruits of karma. And those fruits are also diminished by the chanting of Hare Krishna. So in this way, the cleansing process is going on within the consciousness, within the heart. But that is not all. Furthermore, the chanting of the holy name is connecting us directly with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the Adi Purana, it is stated that by simply chanting the holy name, one is associating with Krishna directly. So even although our consciousness may be covered, naham pakasa sarvasa yogamaya samavritaha. So because we are covered, avritam jnanam etena yoginam nityavairina, because we are covered by the eternal enemy, lust, which is burning in the heart, therefore we are not able to perceive the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we are chanting. Although we are directly associating with him, we are not perceiving anything like that. But the effect is nonetheless there, and because the purity of Krishna is unlimited, he is the supreme pure, and anyone coming in contact with Krishna is purified, and therefore gradually the grip of lust disappears, and then Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadakabunai Savanadi Sudha Chitta Kari Udai. Then the Krishna consciousness becomes again awakened. It's already there. And the covering, as the covering disappears, what remains is Krishna consciousness. So this is important, that Krishna consciousness is not, as Prabhupada said, an artificial imposition on the mind. That it is not that somehow or other we have to bend our mind, somehow or other we have to stretch our mind as one has to bend its back and other parts of the body, stretch them in various yoga asanas, which is difficult. No, Krishna consciousness is actually only in the beginning seems to be difficult. Sometimes I compare it to taking bath in the Ganga in Mayapur, and how on the side near the banks there's not much current, and there when you want to move in the water you have to walk or swim to go ahead. But when you go a little deeper, you don't have to do anything. The force of the current will just carry us away. So in that way, in the beginning, only in the early stages of Krishna consciousness, we have to push ourselves to chant, push ourselves to do any devotional service. But soon, as we get a little bit more absorbed, we'll become captured by the stronger and stronger current. So this is obviously what happened to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He became captured by the current. He became, therefore, his chanting was something that brought him great happiness. First of all, there was no unhappiness from sinful reactions that weigh us down. When there's so many sinful reactions, then it's difficult to be happy. But as one becomes purified, one becomes lighter from this weight of karma. And more and more, one can be open to approach Krishna and appreciate Krishna. I traveled quite extensively before I came to Krishna consciousness on a spiritual journey looking for the truth. I was not sure what it was. I wasn't immediately ready to buy into anything, but I decided to go to India, which, all right, I did. And in India, I did different things, and one of the things I did was take some sitar lessons in Benares and learn a few ragas, which, you know, any guitar player would have done. Right. So I came back to the Western world with my new treasures, a few ragas. And so I met a piano player who also was into ragas, so we decided to do a performance together. And there was not much rehearsal, because the whole thing was to just spontaneously let the raga take over. That was the idea. Yeah. So we just went on stage and began our raga exchange, and me on guitar, him on piano, and we thought it was great. I don't know what it really was like. Probably it was rock, as ragas tend to do when I play them. But anyway, then at one point he says, why don't we do some mantra also? I said, yeah, great idea. Ragas, mantras, all spiritual sound from India. So next moment we are chanting mantras, and it's the Maha Mantra he begins to chant. And I'm singing along with the Maha Mantra. And at that stage, I liked it. It was very nice. And it was a nice session, a success. Certainly it was. And yes, I liked it, the chanting, but I had no association with it. And as I said, Krishna, there was no image of peacock feather, lotus eyes, flute, yellow dhoti, and blackish rain cloud complexion or anything like that, which You know, when, once you've been in the Hare Krishna movement, as soon as someone says Krishna, that association is immediately there. But that wasn't there. It was more, this is spiritual sound. Very powerful. Very spiritual. That was as far as I got at the time. And so we can see that although I was open to chant the holy name, still, I was simply chanting. But there was no remembrance. The remembrance hadn't developed. Now the remembrance has changed due to association of the Vaishnavas, due to the mercy of the Vaishnavas. The remembrance has changed. And as a result, yeah, chanting has changed. Now, Krishna, yes, so many things about Krishna. Yes, forest, Vrindavan, Krishna, flute, Yamuna, Krishna. The mind can associate with thousands of aspects of Krishna now. In this way, we see the intimate connection between hearing and chanting, and how hearing is enhancing the chanting. It's that the initial state of devotional service is known as Sravana Das. This Sravana Dasa is the first stage. Sravana means hearing. So is the first stage about hearing? It says no, in this first stage of Sravana Das, or this, one must constantly hear and chant. So it includes the chanting in Sravana Das. Then the next stage, more advanced, is becomes Smarana Das. And then Smarana Das, or the stage of remembering. In the stage of remembering, that is further subdivided. The first stage is dharana, or to retain, or to recollect whatever you've heard. Yes, remember all the details, but it's more intellectual. One is not involved in a deeper stage. That smarana leads to absorption, and when it comes to absorption. The first stage was smarana, recollection. Second stage, dharana, absorption. Then one becomes attracted. It is at that stage that as one is hearing about the qualities of Krishna, and as one is chanting in glorification of Krishna, one becomes attracted in dharana. And therefore the absorption naturally happens. Absorption cannot happen by force. We notice in the morning when we try to chant japa how difficult it is to experience absorption by force. The mind goes everywhere while chanting. But as we get more absorbed in appreciating Krishna, then the mind gets more drawn to Krishna. It's more. And until one becomes more and more absorbed in thinking about how wonderful Krishna is, how merciful Krishna is, how kind Krishna is. There's just these little things like that one collects over the years, little jewels, right, over time. I remember that once I read in the Krishna book that one name of Krishna is Achyuta, the infallible. And upon reading that name, Achyuta, the infallible, it said there, Krishna is infallible because he never fails to notice the smallest service rendered by his devotee. I thought, wow, that is nice, right? And I've always kept that now, so many years, you know, I've kept that as like a little, something nice, a little jewel, you know, that I read once and remembered. And gradually, such jewels of appreciation for Krishna, just seeing Krishna's nature, can the thing be turned off? It's beautiful, but I don't have to show off. Yeah. Sorry for the sarcasm. So anyway, the like that, little by little, our remembrance grows, our appreciation grows. And not only that, in the Chaitanya Chandramrita, our Prabodhananda Saraswati, who is such an ecstatic, convinced devotee, he makes an important point. And that point is that within the stage of bhava, where he says, at that stage, our meditation changes. It's no longer that we are trying to focus our mind on Krishna. We had long before become drawn to Krishna. He said, but in the stage of bhava, what happens is Krishna manifests himself in our meditation. So the curtain, Krishna lifts the curtain or the veil, and Krishna begins to reveal himself more and more and manifests himself in our meditation. So that is another level again. Of course, that's very advanced level, and now we're speaking theoretically. But, okay, we read in like books like Bhakti Ratnakar about the six Goswamis and how they were seeing sometimes Radharani, sometimes Krishna, and how they were in that kind of consciousness. We see in the Chaitanya Charitamrita described how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his ecstasy was sometimes in Vrindavan and was collecting flowers and so on along with the gopis who were also there collecting flowers to make garlands for Krishna. So we see here how in the stages of bhava and prem, Krishna begins to manifest, the spiritual reality begins to manifest. Then what manifests before that stage? What manifests before that stage is also, one also sees Krishna. If Krishna is so kind, he reveals himself whenever he wants to people in different ways. Mostly when Krishna reveals himself to those souls that are more conditioned, he may reveal his hand, but not his face. We can see Krishna's hand in so many things. We can see, this is not coincidence, this is just incredible. This is just clearly Krishna's arrangement. This is Krishna, we see Krishna. What happened now? It's just like quite a number of years ago, I was staying in the Amsterdam temple for a little while, and it was a very small temple. I had just come back from India, and I had been injured in India and needed to recover. So I was there for recovery. And then there was one very devotional lady who was taking care of Tulsi Devi. So nice, you know, like, and because of her bhakti, she wanted like a special glass cabinet with heating and all kinds of things for Tulsi Devi. And she said, it cost 2,500 euros, right? And, you know, that's a lot of money, right? And, when you've lived a long time in India, you learn how to estimate the price of something. Namely, you just look at like what's it made of, right? A few pieces of glass, an electric element for heating, right? And a little wood and a little labor for the carpenter cannot cost 2,500 euros, right? Impossible. So as a reflex, because of long time living in India, even without thinking, I automatically said, what? 2,500 euros? That's outrageous. Suddenly, I was not the nice, inspiring devotee anymore. But I had turned into a Tulsi killer. Right? So, a great offender. And she became totally hysterical. And I said, like, this is typically women. Some male chauvinism came out. That should not have happened. Anyway, later that day, I was walking in the street of Amsterdam, which is filled with bums. And this time there was an Indian bum, and he started to follow me and said, "Why did you send me away? Why did you send me away?" I said, "I didn't send you away. I've never seen you." He said, "Yes, you did send me away. When I followed your kirtan, then you sent me away because I was talking to the women. But if I can't talk to the women, you cannot talk to the women either," he said. And I thought, oh my God, I just spoke a bit too much an hour before, and now Krishna sends me a messenger. So I saw Krishna. Right? That day I saw Krishna's hand, right? But not his face. I did not see him face to face. To see Krishna face to face, one has to be very purified. That comes in the more advanced stages. So now most of us are chanting for purification, and sometimes with some taste, and sometimes we have moments that it appears very transcendental and we feel very, very, inspired. Now I'll take the story a step further. In 1995, when somehow or other I got shot, right, I wound up in a hospital, which is what happens when you survive. And after the initial difficult phase, I was alone in a room and no more tubes, right? All the tubes had been removed, and I was a free man. And just then, as I was in the room, I had some sort of vision. First, the vision was I saw high towers, and then they turned into concentration camp towers. And, well, I got shot from above. So I was thinking, oh, here we go. Look at the mind. Now the trauma is coming out. And I was experiencing it like that. Then the picture turned into trees, very high trees, all black and white and grim looking. And the view slowly went down. And as it went down, suddenly there was a full color tail of a peacock. Next moment, blue sky, everything full color, many, many pearl drops of dew, and very beautiful scene. And my mind goes, it's Vrindavan. The vision goes down, we come beneath the trees on the ground, the cows are walking there, and suddenly there are Krishna and Balaram between the cows and herding the cows. At the edge of the village, and behind, I see Mother Yasoda watching. So I'm thinking, wow, what's happening? Am I dying now? Is this it? You know, maybe. You know, is this the moment? Is this what happens when you leave your body? But no, it wasn't like that, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I survived. And I became overwhelmed by a great sadness. And at that stage, I realized that I would not continue my service in Vrindavan, which I had done for many years, and which was sort of, I thought I was going to do it for the rest of my life. But that determination of doing this service for the rest of my life ended there. So, well, you know, it's like, wow, a vision. What was this? You know, whew. After I was digesting the experience. And then I was thinking, did I see Krishna and Balaram? And after thinking about it, I thought, well, I didn't respond exactly like Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who saw Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, sorry, in a dream, and became ecstatic, totally ecstatic. I mean, I didn't become ecstatic. I just, it was really it was intriguing. I was intrigued, but I was not overwhelmed by love of God or anything like that. Afterwards, I thought, yeah, probably I still didn't see Krishna. I had a vision and I still didn't see Krishna. What I saw was a mental image of Krishna, my mental projection, a picture of what I think Krishna looks like. That's what I saw. I didn't see him. I felt, because if I would have seen him, I would have been overwhelmed. So let this be really clear, you know, like for the internet and so on. I didn't see Krishna and there was no bhava or anything like that. And I didn't tell the story for anyone to read anything into it. Rather, I tell the story of how the mind works and how our experience works and how we just project our own mental images upon our spiritual experience and try to read so much into it. So we must be patient. We chant the holy name with patience and let gradually leave it up to Krishna to lift the veil, because no one can lift the veil or pull open the curtain by force. It won't work. No matter how serious one is chanting, no matter how much one is shaking his cheeks, and no matter how much one is stamping on the ground, right? No matter how much we focus the mind, still we have to wait till Krishna is pleased. Narada Muni performed the sadhana, including chanting, that was given to him by the Bhakti Vedantas. And in due course of time, Krishna did manifest himself, but only to tell him that this life you will not see me anymore. And then, now you have to become more qualified. So, in this way, we are chanting. We are chanting in humility. We are chanting. Chanting is an interesting thing because we are doing something. We are producing a sound. We are moving our lips, our tongue, and our voice, and a sound is coming out. And the holy name, a spiritual sound. And then simultaneously, the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So at the same time, as we are chanting and making an offering to Krishna, we offer this name to Krishna. At the same time, somewhere, we also get the darshan from Krishna. So it's these two dynamics are there, our offering and the darshan, because Krishna is in his name. But the darshan element, which I spoke about in this talk, is something that gradually will come to us, little by little, as Krishna is pleased. And one has to simply be patient and always think that I am not qualified. I am just a conditioned soul. I have so many sinful reactions in my heart. If I just think of the ones of this lifetime, which I remember, if I just think about the sinful reactions that I'm getting for the sins that I remember, right? That's already quite substantial. What to speak of the ones I don't remember. So in this way, a Vaishnava is taking that humble position. And then, by such humility, Krishna may be purchased. Therefore, the full result of the holy name can only be experienced with that attitude of humility. And that, of course, is very difficult. But then again, when I think of humility, I think true humility begins with honesty. See, if we just stop being artificial, if we're just honest, then we have to admit that we are full of shortcomings. So then it's possible, if we are honest about our shortcomings, to develop a true attitude of humility.
So
in this way, we can become prayerful. We can chant in the mood of one who's eager for mercy. One element in this verse, which I haven't touched upon so much, and which I should have developed more, but we are limited for time, so I'll just shortly mention it. But I begin with describing how the spiritual masters are distributing the mercy. And then, in due course of time, we take shelter, actively take shelter of a spiritual master. We're no longer passive recipients of the mercy of the spiritual master, but we take shelter of the spiritual master. And in due course of time, we may take initiation of a spiritual master, and at that time, we receive Harinam, we receive the mantra. So sometimes in my mind, I was imagining someone on a birthday party getting like a beautiful box, right, nice ribbons and everything, open it up, and then there's a gift inside, and go, I already got that. And I was thinking, the mantra, in a sense, one might say that, well, but I got the mantra already. I got it. When I moved into the temple, they gave me a bead back, and I already got the mantra. So, gosh. But, and I thought about this, and I'd like to share the thought, you know, for whatever it's worth. But I was thinking that the special feature that is there at the time of initiation is that there is the added prayer of the spiritual master. And that changes everything. Because the spiritual master, he has so much credit with Krishna. He has done so much service. He has purchased Krishna. So if he prays to Krishna, somehow or other, make this candidate who is now going to seriously commit to chanting the holy name, please make this person successful in chanting the holy name so that love of God may develop and that this person may go back to God. That prayer actually is more important than our endeavor. That the blessings of the spiritual master who prays for our benefit, who has done so much credit with Krishna, that counts more than what we can do. Still, we must do our level best. But in this way, it's crucial that we come to that point, that we receive the mantra from a spiritual master and commit in this way to chant the holy name. And in that way, it can certainly be fruitful. Okay, now I've got 5 minutes. And it's a strict time schedule, so 5 minutes. Whoever has a question or a comment is most welcome. Yes. Okay. Let me just repeat it. Yeah. Looks like we can die any moment, and therefore we should surrender to Krishna. But due to all my anartas, I just can't. Right? We surrender now, but I can't due to all my anartas. Yes. What to do about that predicament? Yes, this is our, again, you know, this is a good beginning. Because I spoke about honesty. So here we are coming to an honest predicament. We are caught in circumstances of anartas, and we know we should surrender, but we can't. And now what to do? So this is the state where we begin to realize our helplessness. On our own strength, we can't do nothing. So then comes the time to look for mercy. So when this consciousness is really strong, what you described, then the next step is, I need mercy. And one becomes eager for mercy. And then one is always looking for mercy everywhere, and always looking for opportunities to serve. Because mercy, ultimately, one Sometimes we can steal a little mercy, right? Because sometimes Vaishnavas have some mercy lying around. One can steal a little. One can steal some dust from the feet of some Vaishnavas. But it's not the same as the mercy you get when you please the Vaishnavas. Imagine you steal some dust from the feet of a Vaishnava. Yes, good. But then think about it, how you have served this Vaishnava to a point that the Vaishnava is totally pleased with you and you offer your obeisances and suddenly one day you feel these 2 feet on your head. Right? That's better than stealing some mercy. Therefore, it's by serving the Vaishnavas that we'll get the mercy and other sources of mercy are there. We chant the holy name in the mood, begging, as a beggar, begging for mercy. We go to the holy dham, even if it cost us so much money, right, for which you could buy a new computer or something useful. But we don't buy the new computer. We go to the holy dham to roll in the dust and pray for mercy and to hell with the new computer. Vrindavan, coming, yes, somehow or other. Squeeze out some time and I'm going. You know, sometimes someone tells me, I haven't been in Vrindavan for 20 years. I go like, oh, how unfortunate. What great misfortune. I have never been in Vrindavan. Oh, let's go after this Kirtan Mela. But I have a job. Don't go. Report sick. You know. Beg, borrow, or steal. Well, steal, careful. But go to Vrindavan. Go for the mercy. So yeah, that attitude is possible when we realize that on our own strength we can do nothing. The time is finished, I think. So we thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Harinam Sankirtan ki jai. This is all in my book, Satchinanda Swami.